looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Welcome, everyone, to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Wow. Today is all about voices, finding our voice, hearing our voice, talking about our voice, sharing a voice. And I have to just add that my cats are being quite vocal as well today. So we might get to hear Brinks chime in on the show. And Lucy, of course, she loves to co-host. So she's in the event room with us. But as we're going on to the show, all about finding the voice and sharing it, I have a question for all of you. What if you found your voice, the one you've been searching for to live your authentic life, but you found it on the other side? Imagine in 20 seconds of crossing over that the light was shone on your purpose, your mission, and gave you the courage to come back and live the life that second chance had been granted. Now imagine that your great mission with your voice was to reveal to all humans that they were not just something dangerous, killing millions of people every year, but that with your newfound, powerful, and compassionate voice, you could help mankind. With this unbelievable, powerful voice literally running around telling people how to save themselves and protect themselves and save these lives. And finally, with a full circle of true reciprocity, you could use that dedicated voice of yours and teach others how to find their voice without having to go to the other side. We have an incredible, and what I like to say, actually a fascinating man, and I believe he's a fascinating man, not for the near-death experience, which you would think was that fascinating enough, but truly what he has done after his experience and how he's taken all of his life force to help others. I just think it's incredible. So who we have here today is best-selling author Robert Trombley of 20 Seconds. He joins us today and shares about his extraordinary road from near death to healing after two terminal diagnoses, including a journey through hospice and a near-death experience that changed everything at exactly the right time. Those changes include his huge undertaking and passing a new law for health and helping to get early diagnosis of HIV and hepatitis C, as well as showing great leadership for those who need to get their voice back. So, Robert, I'm so, I can't even believe that you're here. I'm excited and I'm happy, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Lisa. This was really exciting to get your offer to come on. And I know we've already chatted and just exploded on our conversation.
Yes.
It was fun.
And the thing is, too, and there's so many different topics to cover with you, really, because I don't even know, goodness, I don't know how you get the energy. It's coming from the other side for sure then, because the energy that you are using to do what you've accomplished, like I just thinking about it makes me tired.
We definitely, at the end of the day, Carol always laughs at me because the minute my head hits the pillow, I'm done.
You're done.
So a life well lived, as a man once told me.
Aw, well, you know, that's exactly, yes. And I would like to begin with that. Because this is not where the journey begins for you, but that crossing over just for that brief 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow. Did that, you actually really use that? That wasn't just something that you came back from and said, okay, well, that was cool. You know, you really did some life-changing things. So just please, if you could share with us, like, why did that even happen? Why the heck did you die?
You know, that's the real question. You don't actually have to die to have these kind of experiences, and people are having these massive collapses of not near death, not actual death experiences. And I was in an intensive care unit in Burlington, Vermont. The shock of my complete utter surprise of my diagnosis was, you know, the shocking enough aspect of my story, but it was, you know, being diagnosed with about 6 weeks. And at the time, I just, I had given up complete hope and came home to Vermont to be around my family. And I had given up myself. So there's, you know, multiple reasons I was diagnosed terminal. Honestly, there's more than one reason, and some of it was my own hope. And so laying there in an intensive care unit, I had this crazy experience. I mean, I'm no expert at this stuff, and I called it the, I mean, I was basically in and out of a conscious state. I could barely walk it, walk at all without help, and I was in and out of a coma-like state for days in that intensive care unit, and sick as a human being can be. And this dream, I called it the most vivid dream I've ever experienced in my life, and the proverbial man's face in a light, and then speaking to me and having this experience of knowing that this was really the face of God that I was looking at. And I mean, I woke up from this experience and life completely changed immediately laying in the hospital bed. So the whole journey has been about how I've coped with those things. And some of the remarkable parts of my story are looking through the forest, as you will, to see some of the medical aspects that kind of irritate doctors regarding my story in regards to not having a fully functioning immune system. No matter how you shake it out, it's still, you know, people are suffering every day with good immune systems. I today, 6 years later from this experience, have one quarter of an immune system, and, you know, we just keep trudging along and grateful for each day after that experience of waking up from this.
In that gratefulness that you do experience, because it's like, this is when you were in those 20 seconds and you saw the man's face and you heard the words, it was a question, and I'm going to have you share what the question was and then your answer, because when you say that you woke up and right then, so you imagine you wake up and you knew, you said you knew life was different. Well, how, because I want to know, like, how did
you,
see, like, how did you know life was different?
Well, I mean, probably in just what very few words were spoken by this ginormous aged figure, this man in this giant ball of circulating light that was over this edge of this precipice that I stood at and touched this face and thought it was the face of God. And his words were, "Are you ready?" And the irony of, you know, I'm back in my hospital bed. I had surrounded myself with family. I had succumbed to the advice of, it's just probably never going to happen. He's too far gone. It's a matter of days. And the next thing I know, I'm touching the face of God and answering the question, "Are you ready?" with, "No, I'm not." And, his face smiled, and the next words were the last words, and they were booming, these just booming voice that you feel in your bones, this subwoofer type of every hair on your body standing there crackling, and his last words were, "There's something important you're supposed to do." And as he smiled, this big smile, this light poured out, and I touched his face and traveled back and woke up, and literally woke up in my bed and said, "I need to see my doctors right now." Wow. And I literally got out of bed and walked down to the nurse's station. "Got to see all my doctors. Got to see them right now. Something important I'm supposed to do." So from there, I've been fairly driven, I guess you would say, with that carrot of something important you're supposed to do.
And that's the life-changing part that I really can feel, like what you said about feeling your bones, because when somebody we'll call it somebody else, whether it's God or somebody outside of you, literally tells you that you have a purpose and a mission. Like you're, it's like it's confirming to anyone, you know, who was questioning it before. And like in you, in that time thinking you were literally passing along and dying, and then to be told no, and you got the chance to answer. That was like a choice too. You could have said, yep, I'm ready to go. And then that would have changed everything.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated by that. It was, I was fairly clear laying there in my hospital bed that I had given up hope, honestly. And here I was standing in this face of what I believed was God and answering so quickly, no, I'm not. I am not ready.
Right. And I wonder if people could.
That carrot that I take every day of my life is, you know, that's something important I'm supposed to do and could have 1,000 different meetings for 1,000 different people. You know, so, and accordingly, my life has stemmed from that, trying to have my poker in a lot of different fires and trying to help other people try to find their voice and be able to find the freedom like I found in just writing about my story and sharing a really passionate love story as well. It's important.
Yes, and you know, we'll end up going to commercial, but that's the part that's going to be really juicy when we come back, because it wasn't like this just happened to you and then that was that. You took all of this and had to figure out, okay, wait, well, I do have a purpose. I want to help others find their voice. Clearly, you were given the strength to find yours in the moment that really mattered. And you wrote this fabulous book and you've had these incredible missions to literally change laws and create companies. So what I'd love to do when we come back is to start with the book. Like what happened and how fast did that book come out of you and pour out of you and how has that changed? So right after the commercial, we're going to talk about that.
Sounds great.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
And we're here. We are sharing this time with Robert Tremblay, author of 20 Seconds, and just, as I said earlier, a fascinating man. Robert, this, when I first read, you know, the intro about your whole story and what was happening, I was like, wow, what an experience to have happened. And I'm so glad that you wrote about it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was, you know, actually, I hadn't even considered the pains and penalties and joys and thrills of actually bleeding onto a book and publishing it for the world to see. It has been really 2 years last week, I guess, since it
came
out. It's just been quite a ride for sure.
Okay, so when you sat down and thought, okay, I have to write about this, was this something you wanted to write to help yourself get through it, or did you know that by writing this book you would be helping, like, millions?
You know, I just, I don't even think there was a original intent. I started, it was one of the things after my near-death experience, as it turned out, that I just couldn't stop. I had never been a trained writer. I'd never gone to school for it. It just, I started writing after my quote-unquote dream with the man and the light, and haven't been able to stop since. And the book really was driven from raw moments of very high emotional states, and I would pour out, and I mean, it literally took me days, if not a week, to really write this book, and a lot of my blog and things. I just one of those things I came back with, and I, you know, wrestle with myself to sit down and write as much as I should, but I'm passionate about helping other people be able to do what I did, which was write my story, and I talk about it all around the world now, and it's just humbling. Every single day, somebody's opening my book and reading it, and, you know, 56 weeks on the bestseller list and Amazon Kindle bestseller, even, in genre internationally. It just is like, wow. So,
and you've mentioned about even in China, like, this is something that's been so helpful and huge in China.
Yeah, it actually, that's the first place that ever went quote-unquote viral, actually. I did an interview with a Chinese television news channel that about my experience, and that ended up going viral in China. That's not a big thing you see on the Chinese television over there. So it kind of went underground. They took my copyright, were selling my book in China. I couldn't really do anything with it, and kind of laughed about it. But 2 weeks later, I went number one in Canada in our genre, and then 2 weeks later in Europe, and then Amazon USA 56 weeks ago. So just crazy. Yes.
And I really appreciate that you had shared how difficult it like the pains that you mentioned about even writing, because a lot of people out there do have their story. And like you said, we have their voice, and my voice is a little bit wonky because I'm at the end of a cold here, but they have this voice, and it is hard. You didn't know how to write. You don't know how to do this, but you, as you said, you poured this out, you bled this onto the pages, and it was worth it, because when you write a story that with such a driven mission behind it, and this is what I'd love for you to share, what ended up being your mission? Because you just accomplished quite the thing that was, first of all, you sacrificed so much to do this. And you probably don't even look at it like a sacrifice. I really feel that you did. You sacrificed time and energy, and you dedicated to this because you really felt there needed to be a law, like an actual law to be passed to help people to save their lives. And so I would love for you to share that, what that was.
You know, that was the thing I never even considered, that it wasn't that whether I should publish a book or write a book. It was, why wouldn't you? My story has so much relevance to what's happening in an evolution of a disease, as an example, that has targeted a different spectrum of our population that some of us maybe aren't comfortable talking about. And you know, I was one of those people who was diagnosed so late in the stages of my illness that it wasn't obviously believed I'd make it. And it's been a hell of a struggle to make it. But had I gotten tested earlier.
How late were you in? How long had you had it? Oh,
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, sorry. How long had you been sick with HIV? How long had it been? Because you said you were diagnosed late.
Yeah. When I was diagnosed, with end-stage AIDS. It wasn't your HIV positive. It wasn't, it was, you've got 6 weeks if you don't have something you can get done here. And from here, the reality was that there were a couple clinical trials I tried to get involved with. I was so sick at that point, my family tried to get me in. And But I was so sick at that point with other illnesses that it would have hurt their medical trial. So I really went home to die, to Vermont, and be with my family. And there you go. I had this crazy experience, and just not something on my radar list, and has forever changed. You know, that man in the light turned out to be somebody different.
Yes.
Than what I thought, and it really woke me to understanding about a near-death experience, and the millions of people who've had these experiences was something I was not aware of. But accordingly, at exactly the right time and manner, I was, you know, shown this man in the light that, you know, I felt was the face of God, turned out to be my grandfather, who had died 20 years before I was born, and just never been a part of my life. And, you know, you have this vivid dream of this man in the light that you think is God that turns out to be your dead grandfather. You start realizing why suddenly you woke up and saw butterflies everywhere, and just became this fascinated child with everything, you know, and everybody. And just my entire life changed. So from there, I, you know, wrote my story, my blog that got crazy viral. And again, ironically, in China first, and then the rest has gone from there. So we've done documentaries and TV shows, and they're all coming up. And we've even wrestled with movie producers about the rights to the story. But when we originally did the book, we wanted to start a charity with it. And do that. And the idea was to show a collaborative for social change. And one of our big topics was getting legislation passed during all this healthcare craziness we've all been watching, even people getting hung out to dry a little bit with some fear. And what are we going to do with this healthcare? I get we've got to fix it. But we watched some people limp up to our U.S. Capitol in wheelchairs saying, do not let me die. And, you know, my story is kind of the same issue. I was really in the same boat. And so anyway, we literally walked up to the state house in Arizona and thought we could get something done. And boom, a couple months ago, they opened a billfolder, which is huge. You know, some lobbyists work their entire career, but lo and behold, they opened a bill folder to pass new legislation that is basically called while you're there. So if you get a blood test in Arizona, you have the option of saying, hey, while you're in my blood, I'd like you to test for infectious diseases like HIV and hepatitis C. We can at least do that.
Yeah.
That's really to give the patient the option at every single blood test. You don't have to be labeled in a risk factor. You don't have to just keep attaching stigma to these diseases. Hepatitis C's killed more people than HIV. So, you know, we can't not have it as a constant conversation. If you can test my cholesterol, you will test if I would like you to, at no charge to me, for hepatitis C and HIV, because I want to be responsible for that option. So that's landmark, you know, legislation that's never been tried. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, and thank you so much for the extreme amount of efforts that you're even putting into doing this. And I don't know, obviously, the statistics and all those things, but how many people would even, just like not an actual number, but how many people really do go and get tested for, you know, infectious diseases like, you know, the hepatitis C or HIV? Like how many, who does this? Like, who would even do it?
Interesting. So. It's an interesting question. And honestly, therein lies the rub. Some of the statistics we're able to even find, and we work with the CDC, the Arizona Public Health Department, but the last statistics were 55% of the American population has never even been tested for HIV.
Right.
So it's not a small percentage. It's the majority of our population's never even been tested once.
Right.
So, you know, we're in a bit old in the sense of, you know, we certainly don't want to mandate testing, but you know, people shouldn't have to feel shame for saying, hey, while you're there, I'd like to know that I'm not passing on an infectious disease to my last three partners, hypothetically, or whatever it might be. Just the CDC's recommendation are every human being between 13 and 65 every year should be tested for HIV, just like your cholesterol. No difference. Okay.
And it's not a niche market either. We're not just talking about the sex trade. We're not just talking about gays. We are seriously talking about every person, because everybody is at risk. And I don't want people running around in fear-based or anything, but this is called what you like preventative. Had you known that you had been sick for so long, like with your symptoms, did you know, like, did you even feel not well leading up to finding out?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and I had gone to the doctors, which is rare for a guy, and no offense to guys, you know, but after losing 40 pounds and ending up in an emergency room, you know, that's when it was just never, the reason I was never diagnosed on time was I wasn't in the quote-unquote risk factors, which have always been a little bit construed awkwardly, in the sense that originally, I think many of us, and me included, stuff this into, hey, that's a gay disease. It's, you know, nothing I have to really worry about. But it isn't obviously medically the case.
Right.
So in today's world population, there's 36 million people infected with HIV. The alarming thing that maybe the inconvenient truth portion of this that maybe a lot of us don't know about or aren't aware of or maybe don't want to talk about is 47% worldwide population now are actually females, ages 13 to 24 years of age. That's alarming. Those are women in prime childbearing years. So literally every day, 452 children are born with or diagnosed with HIV.
And there's our sneaking up commercials. I'm so sorry. We're going to come right back and talk about exactly who is. Yes, perfect. We'll be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Okay, we are here with Robert Trombley. And Robert, I have a question for you. Because this really, I'm just so happy that you're on the show, because we want to reach millions more people for multiple reasons. But the one thing I want to ask you is, what help can you did this in the state of Arizona. What about other states? How can somebody else get involved and say, you know what, I want this to be a law in my state as well? What, how could, do they contact you? Do they do their thing? How would somebody do this?
Well, we're hoping that the precedent-setting aspect of Arizona's population acting and doing something with this will, as history has told us, is the mounting aspect of any effort legislatively. It has to start in one place. Mm-hmm. So somebody has to take the courage after 35 years of really talking about a disease that we have impacted in some segments of our society and watched it grow in other segments of our society. We now are showing that senior citizens are bearing a significant brunt of an increase. In Arizona, our 25 to 29-year-old, our millennium, we are significantly higher, so we're missing something. There's an increase in some parts of Arizona, as an example. We've had a 35% spike in diagnosis this year, just this year. So we can, again, hope it goes away. Or, you know, the thing about HIV, which is interesting, and hepatitis C is HIV with medications today, you legitimately, if you're taking a proper regimen of HIV medications, your viral load becomes undetectable, which means you can't physically spread the virus to another human being.
Oh.
So this isn't a pipe dream that you could legitimately stop the disease. If we get tested on time, if we get the medications on time, you literally can't spread the disease. So we have to take some, and that's new stuff, you know, that's all within the last year or so.
Grateful that you shared that. And funny enough, because just before the show, I thought, oh goodness, I don't want to sound, you know, stupid that I don't know, but I thought, I wonder if there is a cure yet for HIV or, you know, and so for all those people who didn't know, like myself, I love that you're having this conversation because I really want people to not be nervous or scared to talk about things about like this. So that thank you very much. And seniors, wow. And you know what? They have such, they could have such a lowered immune system already. So this is why this is important too. Be tested if you choose to and would like to and have that option. How much does a test cost if it wasn't available? Like how much
there
would that even be?
There actually, I don't believe there's a state in our country that doesn't have some free HIV testing option.
Oh, okay.
It's just they're generally at HIV clinics and free clinics that you walk in the door, but you have to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just wanted it to become a matter of routine that it be offered to you. And the tagline, you know, is while you're there, since you're into my blood, you could at least have the option of saying, yeah, let's test it for HIV and Hep C without having to walk in there feeling like you've got some kind of risk factor, you know, that you need to drag with you behind you like some long chain. You know, if it becomes a matter of your routine blood survey every year with the other 50 things that are on your blood test that your doctors order, it becomes a matter of routine and we diminish the stigma of being able to talk about it because it's, it isn't curable, but you can live a normal life. If it's caught early enough, you could stop the spread of it. And we have to take some responsibility with, you know, one of the hard parts of my story is being diagnosed, you know, at 40 years old as a married heterosexual man in an emergency room in North Carolina with 6 weeks to live. It was, but I'm not gay. That was my response to being told I'm dying was, but I'm not gay. And that's just not the way the disease has evolved, and we need to be okay and having a new conversation about it. It can be stopped. We can stop the spread of the disease. We can, you know, bring up the conversation and at least make it a normal routine part. I mean, come on, if you're testing my cholesterol and everything, I can't spread my bad cholesterol to you. but, you know, we can be honest about the fact and take responsibility for what we will spread to other people and just be okay with being human about it again.
And how are you? Because now, I genuinely just want to know, like, how is your state of health right now? It's been 2 years, at least, because I know it's taken you the 2 years to do the book. How are you feeling? What is life like for you?
Well, we celebrate every day with the aspect that, we actually got to one-third of a functioning immune system a few months ago. And it literally took us 6 years to be able to say, I have one-third of an immune system. We've taken a little drop recently. So it has been, I was diagnosed originally 6 years ago. So it has been a constant every 3 to 6 months, something comes along that, could be detrimental. And I'm allergic to most antibiotics, and that's not great for a guy with no immune system. And we started when I was diagnosed, I had no immune system. So think about it. How hard is it for me to be grateful every damn day that the sun is in my face, that I'm like, hey, man, I could pick up a virus from a Walmart shopping cart and it could wipe me out. And I just don't live that way. I don't worry about it. And more often than not, I've gotten through a lot of stuff. And that's been the real bug of my story, even for doctors, is they all have, these miracles keep happening, Lisa. You keep seeing them, these spiritual awakenings and spontaneous remissions of cancer. And the doctors go, oh boy, that immune system, boy, we just don't understand it. And my story comes along, and it's the real bugger is, what immune system? I didn't have one. And I survived countless things, tuberculosis, like infections in my bone marrow, cancer hacked off my body. 8 times I had rectal cancer surgery in the last 4 years. And so I don't even know how you survive those things without an immune system, but we did. And it's not really because I'm a superhero. It was because I was surrounded by them. It was people coming along at the right time and manner, and us finding mutual inspiration in each other. And I kept moving along. So
there's something about unity, connectivity, support that's just there. And also, I hope you're having some fermented foods in your diet.
I'm terrible with my diet. It's my diet for 6 years, I had wasting syndrome. So even what I do eat doesn't absorb properly now. So it's a painful experience every time I eat. So I have to literally have some blessings each meal to make sure that I'm doing things the right way. And I certainly could eat better. God knows I could eat better.
Well, I will send you some fabulous little stuff after, because I just love to help people rebuild their immune system. And fermented foods really, really are that's the first thing I think about. So I would love to share with you about them after. And anybody else who's listening, because and goodness, they're tasty. They're just fun to eat. It's like a little, they're supporting. So you have a relationship with them. And like what you just said, you have to have a few blessings with you each time you eat. And that's
And you know my story, Lisa, it's a bit about folks like you coming along going, hey, try this. And I went, okay. And then, you do whatever you want to do. But at the end, I still survive these crazy things with no immune system. And so I just keep being grateful for folks like you coming along at the right time, manner, and sequence, and all these things. So you just gotta pay attention.
Well, thank you, and you're welcome, and thank you. And speaking of all this support and help and everything, you actually, yet again, decided to do one other massive, huge help to the world. And because of writing your book and going through what you went through, which I would love to hear a bit of that story too, but then out of it, you said, you know what? I'm going to help others. I'm going to help others do this because I've been to the process. I see these challenges, and I think I can help other people go through it with more ease. And so I would love for you to share, first of all, what about the book writing process or getting it out was really challenging to you that you said, no, I can help somebody else through this easier?
It's a great question because I guess the first thing when we first published, we indie published our book with Balboa Press. And, so we paid money to do it. We even raised money to do it. We did it on a Kickstarter. So the whole thing's been a dream of just one bountiful success of another. But it's like you had talked about earlier about unity. It was, and that was really our driving purpose was build it one person at a time if we needed to, but it that was the driving force behind how I survived. And I don't, you know, I made no bones about it in the story. And the love of that, it was the joy in that. So, but what we said throughout the entire publishing process was, these guys take 75% of your royalties. They are completely unsupportive. They have their own platforms that don't even help their authors. And if you have a question, they send you a newsletter, if you even can get them on the phone. And they're still, it's become this monetary juggernaut of really unsupportive platforms. And we just thought, there's just going to be an easier way. It took us months sometimes to learn, you know, behind the curtains of publishing, and just right. thought, if we ever get successful, and I guess we have that moniker now with 56 weeks on the bestseller list, that
yes.
we send the elevator back down and try to help people, because the odds of the bestseller are just so rare. And so we started Tremor Books, who's owns all the rights to my four publications, and so we were featuring other authors and trying to help them with one-on-one teaching of what goes on behind the scenes. You know, sticking your book on Kindle is one thing, you know, selling, marketing, and building a platform is yet another. So we wanted to be able to offer a collaborative publishing company that would work together on each of our books. So we have several authors that are lined up and coming. We have about 8 books that are coming in the next year. So we're just
wow.
going crazy with that. And a couple of my own books as well. So we're going crazy while we're trying to pass landmark legislation in Arizona that we think will, as we talked about, we think that'll be the landmark case that other states pick up and hopefully follow behind. And,
mm-hmm. Now, we're going to end up going into our final commercial in about 30 seconds here or less. But when we come back, Tremor Books, we're going to talk a little bit about that, how people can get in touch with you, whether they are aspiring authors, they have a story, they need to find a voice, they just need help. So when we come back, we're going to give all of the listeners all that information and guidance.
Great.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
I'm here and speaking with Robert Tremblay, just enjoying everything that you have to share, because it's so inspiring. And in our call that we had before, I was just fascinated. I had just come back from Orlando, and I went down to the Hay House Writers Workshop and was learning about publishing companies and what does it take to this whole thing. And a key word that came out of that entire weekend was the word and term platform. And you have certainly created a platform And everybody's with everybody's help, because that's what that is. Can you share with us what does the platform mean in these terms, and how did you go about creating yours? And just really, I want to celebrate you and just really enjoy the success, because you really have built quite the platform.
Well, you know, the irony of the story, I kind of bumbled along with the platform thing, but my blog probably was instrumental in getting some of my story across the country and around the world. To go viral in different countries. Got weird for a while, you know, like Russia for like a month and China wow. for several months. And so it just you know, became a weird bumble along kind of story. But I never really, you know, set my book out and said, please buy my book. It generally became more of a, how can I support you in your endeavor? And my book sold incidentally. So, you know, originally Hay House, division of my publisher, Balboa Press, told me build a platform. And any author knows today that a traditional publisher, which is seemingly the goal or always had been for most people, you need a platform before they'll even open your book and look at it. They won't even read it unless you are bringing something to the table for them, and that's just business. But relatively, it's not what you know, it's who you know if somebody opens the door for you. But the inevitable thing was they kept saying, like they did at your conference, build your platform. So when I did build a platform, became a bestseller, and then, you know, it's been a year, I heard back from them, and they said, okay, we're paying attention now. And I said, you know what, you were right. I built my platform. I post to 2 million people a day on social media, and guess what? I'm going to use my platform to help other people find their voice. So thank you. You were right. And I will continue with my own publishing ideas that you guys, you know, no offense, this business is business, but you pay a company for them, for the privilege of them taking 75% of your royalties. So Tremor Books takes 25% of your royalties. The author gets 75%.
Oh,
so, you know,
it.
We totally flipped everything around. And so we're excited about being able to work with individual people and do one-on-one, you know, building of author platforms and show people how to do it. And the entire goal with Tremor Books is that the next author teaches the next author.
Aww.
So, you know, eventually when we have 10 authors, we're all helping each other collaboratively with our platform. And every book we publish, we donate money to a charity called Gab, Inc., short for Give a Buck.
Oh.
Because my book donates a dollar from every book sold on our website to Gab, Incorporated. Again, it's short for Give a Buck. So that is the driving force behind our idea, is that is a charity for social collaboration, for positive change. And this is our current battle is to get this law passed in the next couple of months. So we're getting quite a backing of companies and organizations that are helping us get this law passed, and a press release coming out December 1st, which happens. The World AIDS Day. We will be doing a worldwide press conference.
Oh, I'm so glad that you said that. How can we? Okay, wow. I want to make sure I'm listening to that and knowing about it and sharing it. Where do we find you to know about all this? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm all over Facebook at Robert M. Tremblay, the author, or 20 Seconds is, and we also have Gab. GAB on Facebook, or you can check us out at 20seconds.net or tremorbooks.com. We have two books coming this, ironically, this week. So it's funny that I'm chatting with you. We're launching our first book from another author named Leslie Paramore this week on the 11th. It's a children's book, and it is absolutely brilliant. She has written over 70 books in Seoul, Korea for the educational system, and this is her first American debut, and it is genius, and it's going to be followed with a TV pilot they're filming now, so we're all very excited that this week is the launch of that book. So many
things. That is so exciting. And, you know, and if it wasn't for you saying, no, I want Tremor Books, we have to have this. I need to do this. I need to help others. That this lady has now been able to find you. And when you say she has 70 other books, they're already published, or she's written them and they're just in the waiting wings? Like,
well, no, she wrote them for the South Korean educational system.
Oh.
So she literally subcontracted her books there and published them in South Korea. So when she came here 4 years ago, with this very book we're publishing this week, she just looked at the publishing world in the United States and thought, you've all lost your mind. So, and our whole aspect of publishing at Tremor Books is to be very selective, very one-on-one and very educational, but it's about changing the world and helping people find their voice to do it. So after 4 years this week, this woman has, held this book in her hands live for the first time, and it was just so thrilling to watch it. So, yeah, we're excited about that. And then I have a collaborative book with 19 other authors.
An anthology!
This book is holy cow. There are 19 authors, including, now get this, one of the authors is actually Neil Donald Walsh. He contributed an entire chapter to this book that I collaborated with. This comes out on November 14th. It's called The Transformative Power of Near-Death Experiences. And so Neil Donald Walsh even contributed 20-something pages of a story he wrote over 20 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Before he even wrote Conversations with God, he wrote this story, and he was so moved by the book and the collaborative effort of the book that he donated this chapter, because the entire book donates 100% of the royalties from here to children's charities around the world. Unbelievable.
Oh,
19 collaborative authors, some internationally best-selling authors, literally laid it on the page and said, this one's for the kids.
You know, I'm so grateful for all of them who participated. You yourself are creating this opportunity for them to be able to do that. I have to say, I'm the biggest fan of anthologies, not just because I've written three chapters in an anthology myself, but because they're my favorite thing to pick up and read. You get this little bite-sized story it's even titled Transformative, like in your title. Yeah. And that's what it does. One little story, one chapter can truly affect and make the biggest difference. And as you said, it goes all around the world. And now you've taken it to have even more meaning, because you're donating, you said 100% of this one is being donated to the children.
The rarity of this deal is it's being published actually by Watkins Publishing, not by Tremor Books. I donated a chapter. I'm one of the 19 collaborative authors on the deal, but it's written by Dr. Penny Sartori, who's Europe's leading expert on near-death experiences, and Kelly Walsh. So the book just caught fire as a let's show people what we can do when we hold hands together. And I mean, there's some big-time best-selling authors, Jeff Olson, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Dr. Penny Sartori, myself, and, I mean, 19 bleeding stories of transformation that, are just absolutely inspiring and so varied. You won't even believe some of the stories are so different.
Yes, and that is actually the beauty of it. Like, you have a theme to it. However, everything's a little different, and that's why why I love anthologies, because you literally do a theme. I mean, my anthology was on, empowerment and love. It's all about empowerment and love. However, every single story is different, and that's why I'm feeling my entire face is glowing and smiling, and my heart is smiling. And I'm already excited for this book. And if we can get the name of it again, and I'm going to make sure that I post about that book when it becomes available, because I just would love for everybody to have a copy of that.
Yeah, this one's going to be powerful. It's being endorsed by some pretty big famous names right now, so it's caught fire for sure, and it hasn't even been released yet. So it's called The Transformative Power of Near-Death Experiences.
Okay, that is one title that we are absolutely going to remember. And in closing, in our last minute together here, which, I don't want it to end, I think of you and I think of these major three big giant steps that you've done, you know, with a near death to making sure that people have the option and the opportunity to be tested and to save their lives and others' lives, and then all the way to creating this amazing publishing company that people, you're really helping people and letting them teach people. I would love to hear your last few words, and then I'm going to sadly have to say goodbye.
Oh, no, it's just, you know, this even this moment for us sharing some time and some emotion together and some excitement and some real honest realness together. That's been really this, if you'll pardon the term, story of my life. And the true aspect to what heals me is moments like these and reaching out to people and being inspired by understanding that everyone is my teacher. I hope people get to check out the story. There's so much to hope and love that I hope we all find in it.
Oh, that's absolutely beautiful. And I think on that, we definitely share it. Let everybody know, just connectivity, unity, sharing, teaching, and leadership. And just thank you for this past hour. It's been such a beautiful time. Thank you so much, Robert Tremblay.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, everyone.